If you're following along on your impact guide, which you can find on our website at the groups page, then you know that today's message is entitled, The Exact Moment the Masks Come Off. Let that sink in for just a moment. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that this series was planned, or that God started giving us the idea for this series several months ago. It was originally supposed to begin on Easter Sunday. So when our team was preparing for this message, we had no idea that it would be happening in the midst of a global pandemic. And we certainly had no idea that these things would be a part of our everyday life. It's funny how things work out, right? Everywhere you go now, people are wearing masks. But listen to that sentence again. Everywhere you go, people are wearing masks. Right? There's kind of a double meaning to it. And we're going to play on that a lot today as we go into God's Word. As we prepared for this message, you know, I want to bring a conversation to the table that helps you to have a conversation with your friends, your family, not just to move into a monologue or information, but to experience life transformation and have that aha moment where Jesus begins speaking into your heart. And so in a way of doing that, I often try and begin with some sort of an illustration, you know, a story, a practical example or a happening that kind of makes the context of what we're going to talk about come alive. God led us to a passage that's all about how wearing masks can block the light that He wants to share in our lives. And yet, God started laying this on my heart over 6 months ago. I had no idea that it would have such application today. It would have been inconceivable 6 months ago to imagine a world where this was a part of our daily wardrobe. Actually, speaking of inconceivable, you might know that my favorite movie of all time is The Princess Bride. I'll try and tell you at times that it's a Marvel movie or Return of the King, but the reality is, for the past few decades, it's pretty much always been The Princess Bride. And at the beginning of the pandemic, somebody figured out, they realized that most of the lines in The Princess Bride are like the soundtrack to 2020. And so they turned them into these wonderful memes. First of all, you have the waking up in 2020 be like meme, and you see the grandpa saying, "Where were we? Oh yes, the pit of despair." You've got the meme that's going down the wrong aisle or the wrong direction in the aisle in the grocery store be like. It's the boo, boo, filth, rubbish, muck, boo. You've got the if 2020 described itself meme. I've just sucked away 1 year of your life. I might someday go to 50, but I really don't know what that would do to a person. And then, of course, you have that meme, that moment in the movie that's just so beautiful, so in line with what we're experiencing right now. You have Andre the Giant's beloved Fezzik talking with the man in black, and this exact phrase from the movie, "Why are you wearing a mask? Were you burned by acid or something like that?" And the man in black replies, "No, it's just that they're terribly comfortable. I imagine everyone will be wearing them in the future," right? I mean, that meme describes this moment, and everything about the Princess Bride seems to describe the world that we're living in right now. I just hope we get to that happy ending at the same point. So let's start the conversation in the comments section below. What meme would best describe 2020 for you? Remember, these messages aren't just meant to be monologues where you nod along to information. They're meant to be dialogues that help you share and think through these thoughts with others. And so in the comments section, let's start the conversation there. Post a meme right in there that describes 2020 for you. For me, those Princess Bride memes are everything of 2020. And talk about prophetic. How could we have known that movie would so describe our world? But you know, there's also a little bit of snark in that. There's a little bit of a double meaning. William Goldman, who wrote The Princess Bride, he kind of had a wit and a bit of a snark, you know, a little bit of kind of a mean spirit in even some ways to him that would imply that double meaning. See, if you know the movie, you know that he says in there that this is written by S. Morgenstern, which is this fictional writer. You know, he imagines that there was like a 1,000-page version of this book and tens of pages went through like ancient hat customs and stuff like that. And he talks about in the book how this is just the good parts version. In fact, the cover of the book itself has a little bit of snark to it. It says this is a hot fairy tale. I don't know what a hot fairy tale is, but I know from Goldman's writing and his style that line about the masks, about everybody wearing them in the future someday, it has a double meaning. It's got some additional implications. And for what we're about to talk about today, I hope you see that we're not just talking about a piece of cloth that covers our face. We're talking about the masks that we've been wearing for years. In fact, about a month and a half ago, another preacher, similar with a little bit of wit and snark, made a comment. He said, you know, so many of us in the church are getting upset about these mask mandates that we have to wear masks to come into a church, when in reality, a lot of us have been coming to church wearing masks our whole lives. Ouch. That's a hard one, right? And yet, as I hear it, I also kind of turn that into a reflection in myself. Have I been wearing masks? Have I allowed a different version of me, or maybe a better public portrayal of myself, to kind of be that mask that I put in front of my face, that I hide from others and hide from God with? See, those words are exactly what Jesus is going to confront some religious leaders with as we continue on in our exploration of the gospel according to John. You see, there's one more thing that COVID world kind of messed up or sidelined for a little while. Back at the end of last year, we started a journey going through the gospel according to John step by step. And the original plan was we were going to do that all the way until Christmas of this next year. But for a few months during the pandemic, we set aside a little bit of time to go through prayer and talk about the world that we're now encountering. And so if you've lost some of that context, would you go back and check out our 2019 series, Life Light? That's the start of this conversation, and it'll help to set the tone for what Jesus is about to say. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible that you allow to go through you on a regular basis, I would encourage you to download the Bible app. It's literally the Bible that you have with you at all times. And if nothing else, it's amazing just to do a quick verse of the day. But there's also ways through it that you can dig deep into God's Word and let God's Word dig into you. John chapter 8, starting in verse 12, says this: Jesus spoke to them again. So let's note that word again. This isn't the first time he's saying some of this. It's a repeat. It's a reminder. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the Pharisees, they start to show their masks right away. They start to put up their defenses. They show that they're hiding from what Jesus's truth is. And they say, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Right? They're sidetracking things, that they're being confronted right off. And so they try and steer the conversation in a direction that doesn't convict or convince them. Jesus meets them right there. He says, even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So in this moment, these Pharisees have kind of dodged, they've deflected, they've used their masks to kind of shield themselves from the truth that Jesus has for them. And they're using the law of God to try and get themselves out of the hot seat. And so they keep deflecting over. And the next deflection they have is in verse 19. Where is your Father? You know neither me nor my Father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. And then it gives this important bit of context. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple. But no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. What's going on in this moment in Jesus' life? And how does it deeply impact your story? Well, the reality is these Pharisees represent something big. These are religious leaders of the day, and yet these Pharisees are countering Jesus. They're hearing him, but they're not really hearing him, and they're trying to deflect from his truth. It's very possible, if you look at the context back a few series ago to John chapter 5, verse 31 and following, that these Pharisees are even maybe trying to poke and prod. You know, it feels like Jesus is kind of reacting here, but in reality, he is proactively going into some of these deflecting or ways of deflection that the Pharisees have brought in to the story. Because the Pharisees were always meant to be the Messiah's welcoming committee. They were supposed to be the ones who prepared people to experience Jesus. But instead of that, they used the law. They used the rules. They used their way as a mask that prevented them from getting infected with Jesus. And then they made everyone around them start to wear these masks too, so that they wouldn't catch this life light. These Pharisees go around judging people by their externals through pure human judgment. In other words, they teach people to put up masks, and they judge them by the quality of the masks that they're wearing. They use the law of God, I should say misuse the law of God, to try and help people hide. And so in this text, everyone is wearing a mask. And it's interesting that the text actually gives us a location. It says that Jesus is teaching in the temple. That's basically home base for these religious leaders. And it even says specifically that he's right outside of the treasury. So he's hitting them right where their heart, where their wallet, where their religion has allowed them to build up these false selves and put on masks. And Jesus lovingly confronts them, as he does with us, with truth. So what about you? I'm not asking you to drop anything in the comments on this one, but have you been wearing a mask? Have you been constructing a false self that has given you almost a vaccination against the life, the truth, and the light that Jesus wants to bring in to your life? Has religion or the standards of your family or the way of the rules of our lands or the judgments of others caused you to put on a mask and hide from who God intended you to be? Look, I'm not a prophet. I can't see into your soul, but we can look each other in the eyes. And right now with our masks on, that's about all we can see is each other's eyes. And when we look into our eyes right now, it seems like for a lot of us, something's missing. It seems like we've been portraying a false image of ourselves, giving people a version of ourselves that's more successful than we really are, that has less insecurities than we really do, who are put together more than we really feel. And we've used these false selves to create a barrier between us and God, between us and others, and even us deep down inside of who God really created us to be. In his song, Steel Bars, Andy Gullihorn puts it beautifully like this. So this is how it feels at the rock bottom of despair. When the house I built comes crashing down. And this is how it feels when I know the man that I say that I am is not the man that I am when no one is around. You see, the truth is, many of us started wearing masks long before there was any governmental mandate. Sometimes we wore them in church. Sometimes we wore them around our friends. Sometimes we wore them around our family. But in reality, these masks were like those fig leaves that Adam and Eve put on. If you remember a couple weeks ago, as we looked at Genesis and the fall of man in the garden, we felt that shame, and so we hide ourselves from God. And it seems like we're still ashamed, either of who we are or of who we're not yet. And so we wear a mask to prevent people from seeing what we feel like is the only thing we can see about ourselves. But here's the thing. Those masks also serve as ways for us to hide from God's transformational power. God is always ready to work in our lives and to cause transformation, but we use that mask as a bubble or a shield, not just to protect us from that virus out there, but to protect us from changing in powerful and amazing ways. But Jesus is ready to confront your mask. He's ready to step in and have a conversation with you about that false self. He's ready to help you drop the fig leaf so that he can help you experience that transformation to the person that he always intended you to be, that child created in his image, becoming more and more like his love and his joy, his peace, his patience, his hope. All of those things are part of what he wants to do in our lives. And here's the key thought. Everything changes the moment your mask comes off. Everything changes the moment your mask comes off. See, in his classic book, Wild at Heart, John Eldridge, who's an author and also a Colorado native, confronts this idea this way. He says, losing the false self is painful. Though it's a mask, it's one we've worn for years. And losing it can feel like losing a close friend. Underneath the mask is all of the hurt and fear that we've been running and hiding from. To let it come to the surface can shake us like an earthquake. So let's step back into Jesus' story. Make no mistake, even though it's harder to see without knowing that cultural context as intimately as we do, being separated from this event by over 2,000 years, but Jesus is calling out these religious leaders for the masks that they wear. These Pharisees were hiding behind the law. They were hiding behind their place in society. They were judging others and using those judgments as a way to hide from the judgment that was within themselves. So Jesus calls them out. He even uses the law itself to answer them. Jesus quoted a principle found in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, chapter 19, verse 15, and again in Numbers 35, 30, that the testimony of two men was required to validate an argument. And Jesus had these two testimonies. He had the testimony of the Father, and he testified to himself. In doing this, Jesus is calling out the Pharisees. He's starting to expose those masks. And so they do what any of us do when our masks, when our false self feels threatened. They start to deflect again. Take a look at verse 21. Then he said to them again, I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said to themselves again, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? This is the power of masks. Notice the pride and the hubris that these Pharisees have. They have constructed these false selves that allow them not only to judge others, but to stand in judgment of Jesus. Hear those words. That's strong. You see, these Pharisees say, where's he going? Oh, at first, maybe he's going to go over and he's going to help these Gentiles. These lesser human beings. They would call them those horrid Gentiles because they were their enemies. And they had no desire for God's love to come in and transform them so that they would actually go and be a blessing to their enemies. And so they separate themselves from God, from Jesus' words that way. And then they say, well, he's probably going to kill himself then, right? And that seems really weird. That just seems like a really weird place to go. Is Jesus going to commit suicide? But the reality is, for them, if somebody were to commit that act, they would go to a place of judgment. And so if Jesus commits that act and goes to a place of judgment, then that justifies them. And it shows them, it allows them to deceive themselves into thinking that this false self they've constructed is all they actually need. But Jesus, he was telling them to lay down their masks. He was asking them to go and help those that they considered their enemy. He said, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. And yet, when we pretend like we have it all together, when we pretend that we have all the answers, or that we're better than them, whoever them is, we allow that mask to pretend like we're everything we need, when in reality, we feel like we're falling apart, don't we? Our masks are like abusive relationships. They tell us that they're going to protect us. They tell us that they are all that we could ever need, and yet they're the ones that are tearing us down. They're the ones that are preventing us from discovering the life that God has for us. And the reality is, everything changes the moment your mask comes off. Everything changes the moment that mask comes off, because Jesus made a promise to us. Before the Pharisees got all distracted on these little tangents and these little ways of going off to the side and getting away from the main issue, do you remember what Jesus said? Turn back a few verses to verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus made a big promise there. You know, we talked about it in the Life Light series, but light back then wasn't like it is today. It wasn't readily available at the flip of a switch. Light was a precious commodity. It was something that you could only have by lighting candles. And the context to this season of Jesus' ministry, if you remember, was around the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would light these huge candelabras, these multi-pronged candle holders that had immense amounts of light, especially for that day, that would radiate out from the temple, the very place Jesus is talking to these Pharisees about. And this would signify to them that God is the light of the world. And standing in the temple, confronting these Pharisees in their masks, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am here to transform. As Eldridge continues in that amazing book, Wild at Heart, he says, as we walk away from the false self, we will feel vulnerable and exposed. We will be sorely tempted to turn to our comforters for some relief. Those places we found solace and rest. And yet Jesus is speaking to us from out of our darkness and telling us that he is our rest. He is our refuge. He is the light that gives us the ability to leave the darkness. to find our way and to see our world around us for what it really is. Hear those things again. To leave the darkness, to find our way, and to see the world around us for what it really is. That is what happens when we embrace Jesus' light by putting down our masks. Jesus invites us to come before him with unveiled and unmasked faces. You see, these Pharisees, they looked to a man named Moses, a man who established much of the Old Testament law. And in the Old Testament, it says that Moses used to veil his face, kind of like a bride. He used to cover himself when he came before the Israelites because he didn't want them to see when the glory was leaving his life. And yet, picking up on this theme, another follower of Jesus, being wrestling with this concept of veiling ourselves, of putting on masks, he says this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from gazing steadily until the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted, because it is set aside only in Christ. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled, or we could read into it in this context, unmasked faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is Spirit. This is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to take off the masks, not to hide behind them because the glory that we think we have is faded, but to be transformed by the life light from the inside so that when we look in the mirror, we see someone who's being transformed into the original image God created us to be, that we are becoming more like Jesus every day. And when we allow that light in us to transform us, it helps us walk out of the darkness. It shows us the way to life. And it helps us see the world around us for what it really is. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't yearn for that deep down in their soul? I want that. And I hope that you want that too. You know, I've mentioned before in my messages that I love watching this documentary series that CNN does that's just called Decades. It's this multi-part series where they take an hour or two on different aspects of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and so on and so forth. I get the feeling that if they were to do one of those on 2020, not the 2020s, meaning this whole decade, but just the year 2020, they could produce one of those documentaries just on all that's happened this year alone. And I imagine that were they to do something like that, they could produce at least an hour-long episode just on masks, just on the way that mask culture has overtaken us and changed the way that we do things. That's a part of our story. But remember, we have an opportunity to live in the asterisk. We have an ability, an opportunity, that is, to change the story. What if our stories were different? What if in this season where we're being asked to take up cloth and put it on our face to protect others around us, we laid down the masks of the false self that we have used as a barrier against others, against God, and even against experiencing the truest version of ourselves? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I encourage you to walk in that freedom today. Because our freedom comes when we accept the light of the world and let him lay down our barriers, and transform our souls. As we continue in worship, I want to invite you, wherever you are, to take a moment to humble yourself, to lay down that false self and come before God. In just a moment, we're going to encounter communion together. We're going to have the opportunity to take up the bread that represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us, that allows us to break those ties to the masks that we've held so desperately onto for so long, and the blood of Jesus, which is the new covenant, a new chapter, a new story. It's that asterisk moment in our life that says that something has changed. I want to encourage you to go to your kitchen and grab something that resembles bread and something that resembles juice. Whatever close approximations those are, it's not about what those elements actually are. It's about what they're representing in your soul. And as you grab those, I want you to hear the closing verse of that song by Andy Gullihorn, Steel Bars. It says, "This is how it feels to come alive again and start fighting back to gain control. And this is how it feels to let freedom in and break the chains that enslave my soul." Maybe you felt those chains. Maybe you felt powerless to shake them off. I believe that Jesus is that power, that His light will lead to the life that you've been looking for, that He will help you find your way out of the darkness. He will show you the way to go towards Him, and He'll show you through that light what the world around you is really all about. Not the shadows, not the deceptions, but His truth. Let's continue in worship together.